Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? And I'll try and keep my voice down while we get level straight.
Holy
because
shnikes.
Barry just got airborne.
Wow.
We are coming to you live from Prime Social right here on a Friday, where you always want to be on a Friday or any day if you want to play poker. 7801 Westheimer at Stony Brook. We will be here till 4, and you guys should stop by if you want to start the weekend early. As Barry and myself are here like we normally are, and oh my goodness, Nicholas is with us. Nick Sciarra, not just back in studio like he always is. Nick, live and in living color, and he's not even three drinks in yet.
I feel so uncomfortable, man.
Is he drunk? I feel like he's drunk right now.
I feel so uncomfortable right now.
Why?
I just don't feel like I know what I'm doing.
Turn me up on my mic. I feel like my mic is low.
Really?
You got the headphones levels good, but I feel like the mic is low. Is the mic low?
Mine's fine. Yours is a little low.
Yeah.
Well, because I project.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's good right there. I like that. Yeah, you're not drunk. Good for you.
No, I wasn't.
But are you hungover?
Seriously, drink here at Prime Social.
You could.
I was joking, guys.
Others have.
So I almost messed up and brought my gun in. Which they have a metal detector, and that's frowned upon at a place like this. I literally got to the door with it in my backpack and went, oh, and then I had to go back to the car and put it
up. Smart move on your part.
Because I probably would have got groin searched and everything.
Good thing I remembered.
Yeah.
But he recognized me, so he let me go in.
Really?
He didn't recognize you, Joel?
No.
He goes, oh, you're with CNN.
CNN.
Like, that's like, nope.
Yeah, I knew you used to hang out with Anderson Cooper. But.
I mean, I'm with ESPN, but yeah, I'm with them. He goes, yeah, go ahead, bro. And I had my bag on the outside, so he was going to have to search it. Like, you don't pass it through the metal detector.
Not me. He was going, if you want to move those headphones so I can see there's everything in here, can you move some stuff around? I was like, is there pockets? He literally covered every possible. Like, he goes, this pocket here, I go, it can hold a pen. He goes, I still need to see in there. He covered every pocket in my backpack. So
that's
funny. I felt very secure coming in.
Yeah, I mean it's he's on it. He's thorough,
I guess.
He also thought that my shirt that I'm wearing was the same John and Raheel and Lance and Dell shirt, and I was like, no, sir. Because he goes, oh yeah, everybody from the station has that shirt. I was like, no, sir. This is a custom made shirt that I had done that says Ghetto Boys, UGK, DJ Screw and Fat Pat. That way better than that crew with that other shirt. Way better. So, not the same, sir.
We're still waiting on the Barry, Nick, Joel,
and
Trey and whoever else.
No, not Trey. He's not. We don't want Trey on our shirt, do we?
I don't think so.
Why not?
Why would we want Trey on our shirt? He's not a suspect.
Make it Troy.
Trey's out here gallivanting around with all the other shows, just whoring himself out for whoever will use him.
It's pretty much true.
Yeah, I don't want that. I've got some update for you. Well, not an update, but did I mention this prior that I put all of my social media on notice that for 2019 I have a zero tolerance policy for people that are correcting my spelling?
You didn't put it on air, but I did see it online.
Yeah, so I'm not the best speller in the world. I'm not terrible. Homophones are my weakness. Stop it, both of you immature. Both of you. Look at you. You guys are 5-year-olds. I literally work with children. You don't even know what
you're a homophone when you're not practicing husbandry.
But why do you get mad when we do it, when you do this all
the time? Yeah, you do it to us all the time.
But I don't giggle like a schoolgirl.
You stared at us.
I straight face it. I don't giggle. I'll get my shot in. But no, a homophone is words that sound the same but are
different
spelled
meaning.
Different. No, that are spelled different.
Or spelled different, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, dawned and dawned. Like, I donned my coat, and it dawned on me, or it was dawn, right? So, there's different spellings, same words.
Dingy or dingy.
So, so those always mess me up. A great example, there, there, and there. There's three ways to spell there, and sometimes you mess it up. Two and two. T-O-O-T-O. T-W-O. I mean, these are words that get me sometimes, all right?
Yep.
And inevitably, people will correct my spelling. And I finally, at 44 years old, on social media, I was like, you know what? I'm sick of this. I'm not in fifth grade, and none of these a-holes are my teachers. I'm not having this no more. If grown-ass men and women feel like they can correct my spelling, that's fine. but you won't be a part of my social media life anymore. So I put the world on notice on Facebook. Next person that corrects my spelling, I'm unfriending them and I'm blocking them on Twitter if they were friends on Twitter. And a buddy of mine in one of my lawnmower posts corrected my spelling.
Mm.
And I unfriended him. And he sent me a message like, bro, were you really pissed off about that spelling joke? And I didn't even respond because you know what? You are dead to me. D-E-A-D, dead to me.
Wow.
And I said, I even put in my little post, I let my mom do it. I will unfriend my mom. I don't give a damn. Try me, Jenny. Try me. I will unfriend my mom.
Is that serious, huh?
This is a zero tolerance policy. I'm too old. Look, I'm already setting my ways in a bad speller, and I acknowledge that I'm a bad speller. So because I've acknowledged it, I don't need other people out here correcting me to try to get a funny like or a quick jab in. Do it another way. But so, it's not going to be correcting my spelling. Well, it will be once, and that'll be it.
So you don't use
tired of it.
Any kind of app or software to
Here's
help
the
you
problem.
With spelling?
And this is going
to
sound cocky, but I type too fast. I type too fast, and I don't proofread. So I'll think of like the word like there, right? And I'll just whatever there is in my mind when I'm thinking of the word as I type, that's what comes out. And I don't proofread. That's part of my problem. If I proofread it, I know the difference between T-H-E-I-R and T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E, T-H-E-R-E. I know the difference. I'm not that stupid. It's just I type too fast.
But the suggestion is like a Grammarly. Because I know you write comedy columns and blogs and things like that. And occasionally you write.
Yeah.
So what
I have an editor, though. Well, sometimes Fred will edit an article. Sometimes he doesn't, and then I look like a dumbass.
So Josh said, sometimes Fred says he just kind of he trusts
edits.
You, and he just throws it out there. And then I got listeners coming to me going, dude, can you spell?
Do
or
you not know two and two?
So they suggested that
you know how to kiss my ass?
Download this software for free called Grammarly.
Okay.
It's amazing. From tweets and Facebook posts to anything you write or anything you send an email, it will not only highlight what's misspelled or grammatically incorrect. It'll give you suggestions, and it's really quick.
Here, you know what's easier? Block. Just block these dicks that are out there correcting people's spelling on the internet like they're some spelling god. No.
Okay.
I'm not going to have to.
I gave you another alternative.
I'm not going to install. I'm not going to have to go through extra steps because I have a funny post I want to throw out there real quick, and I type it up real fast, or I'm on my phone, or whatever, and then there's these a-holes spelling and grammar police. That's literally all they live for online is to correct someone's spelling. And I can see them in my head. I see them going, it's T-O-O, not T-O, self high five. It's like, get your stupid ass out of here. I don't need that. I don't have time for that.
These are the same people that are texting and tweeting during our show,
yeah,
waiting for us to just say anything they can correct.
Also, I saw the greatest tweet of my life, well, of my radio life, yesterday, or actually this morning, and it was from, I got to find it. It was Paul F. Tompkins.
Okay.
And he tweets out the following. Now, tell me if this doesn't sound like something that's happened to us on this show several times. He said, it's such a weird coincidence that anytime I tweet something about politics, I get told, quote, stick to jokes by someone who is, like me, not a policy expert, but like me is just a regular old citizen a-hole. How many times has someone texted the show and told us to stick to sports if we talk politics or social issues?
Right.
Or they'll tell me to stick to comedy or, like, if I post a political joke. That was the most – I felt that in every
Absolutely.
Part of my being. I was just like, God, this is perfect. Because everyone that tells us that, you're not a political guy. You just are mad because you don't agree with us.
You're absolutely right.
I felt that so much.
I started the same thing last night with Facebook and Twitter because I got sick and tired of seeing everybody, every meal, every time they put a morsel of food in their mouth, they have to take a picture of it. I went to Starbucks the other morning, and I had a load of high school girls that were on their way to some field trip, and not only were they in the pickup line to get their stuff, but it took them an extra 10 minutes to take Instagram pictures of every cup on the counter. And I'm going, what is the obsession? You know, is this taking over for duck lip-faced selfies and all these other things? And I put it out there. Now, one, of course, my sister, thank God she's in Jamaica and she can't respond. But my sister immediately goes, well, I'll just take down all my posts because I'm in Jamaica. And I go, I don't care. It's not about you. I know it's shocking. But then other people was like, yeah, my bad. I've been doing it. And then my niece came in there and she said, you know what? I'll trade you food pictures for political opinions that when it's not what the people believe in themselves, they go at the other person instead of realizing both people are entitled to have whatever opinion they have. And I go, you know what? You can take all of them, make them all go to hell, and make them all go away, and I'd be ecstatic.
You know what? And none of that bothers me as much as a grown-ass person correcting my spelling. I would rather look at a million pictures of a hamburger than to have someone tell me, you spelled dawned wrong. Well, it just dawned on me. You're a dick. Get out of here. I no longer want to talk to you on social media. I mean, I'll be nice to you in person, but I just don't need somebody proofreading every post. I just don't. I just don't.
I'm with you. I hear that. I feel your pain on that.
Hate it, hate it, hate it. So just everybody on Twitter, don't come at me telling me I'm sensitive. You've been warned. Even my mom, I'm telling you, I will block my mom on Twitter and unfriend her on Facebook if she corrects my spelling.
You do realize the rest of the show, you're going to get texts and tweets and comments that are going to try and just say you misspelled something you actually said.
Look, somebody chiming in on Twitter, Josh Rapp.
Yep.
Super guilty.
By the way, the biggest and worst
spelling, grammar,
try anything on the air he corrects us on.
Try me, Josh. On the air is different. I get that. But try me on Twitter. Correct.
Not on opinionated stuff. We'll give our opinion on something, and he'll come on Twitter.
But I understand that.
It.
But that's kind of the spirit of what we do at Sports Talk Radio. We give opinions. People disagree. I get that. I'm just saying, like, I'll tweet something, and Josh will be like, "They're not there. No, that ain't happening in 2019, buddy."
He realizes he's walking a fine line at this point.
It ain't happening in 2019.
Hey, HR&P listener line is open, and if you don't want to hit us up on Twitter, you can always call 713-780-3776. You can also text that number, as we'll check the text line, because we are on remote here at Prime Social. And, of course, you can reach us on Twitter, where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is funny. Today is an F Yeah Friday, as you all know, for fun and funny, and one of the funniest comedians that I know joining us today, or will be our highlighted comedian, because his album just dropped. Our good friend Jerry Rocha.
Yeah, we had him on before, and it's always good to visit and talk with and include Jerry in the show. He's a friend of the show. He guest hosted the show. Mm-hmm. But I told him when his album dropped that I wanted to feature it and give the peeps a chance to know about it and go buy it. So, yeah, it dropped this week, and we'll run some clips from it. We'll have 3 1-minute clips. I let Jerry choose the clips.
Very nice.
So these are his clips, and we'll go from there. I'll tell the peeps at the next segment how to get a copy of it.
There you go. So his first clip's coming up. Then Barry, give you some backstory, and we'll continue to roll on. It is an FEF Friday on the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Prime Social. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with...
I admire how women just do not mess around when it comes to friends, man. Dude, my ex, her best friend, Jessica, here's how they met. You ready? My ex was in a car crash. Her car flipped 3 times on the highway. Jessica, complete stranger, saw it happen, ran out of her car, across the highway, pulled my ex out of the burning wreckage, saved her life. That's how they became friends. That's how they met. And the last time I saw my ex, I'm like, hey, how's Jessica? She's like, we don't talk anymore. I'm like, what? What? She saved her life. Yeah, I know. But 3 years ago, I lost 4 pounds. She didn't say a word, so she can die and she can rot in hell.
Oh, that's our guy, Jerry Rocha. Barry, tell everybody who, if they're living under a rock and don't know anything about him, why you should follow Jerry Rocha and his comedy.
You should follow Jerry Rocha because he's one of the funniest human beings on the planet. Great dude, great comic. Knows his sports, and he's got a new album out. At Jerry Rocha on Twitter. The album is called I Girl, but it's spelled A-Y, like I Girl. So A-Y Girl. It's on iTunes, Google Play. It's everywhere you can buy an album. It's on Amazon. So just wherever you get your music and download it and purchase it for your phone or what have you, go get a copy of that. Support Jerry. Support our guys. Support a really good friend of the show.
No doubt about it. Big Dallas sports fan, Cowboy fan, et cetera. Yeah. But, yeah, he has filled in when you were out and about.
Admirably, and, I understand.
Yeah, he was better than average. And okay. Really a good dude.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll tweet out some links. I'll get some links from him, too. So if you're interested in the album and you want to get it. And I think it's like, it's either like $8 or $10. It's not expensive, and it's, you're supporting a good dude and on the
friend
come
the
up.
Show,
so yeah, so just, so do that.
I believe it's at Rocha Comedy on Twitter.
His Twitter handle. Yeah.
Not Jerry Rocha. Just quickly.
What'd I say?
You said at Jerry Rocha.
Oh no, I even wrote it down on the doc. See what happens? Sometimes you just at Rocha Comedy on Twitter.
Does that count as a misspelling correction?
It does.
No.
Oh,
no.
I don't know.
Ban both of us right now.
No. I would.
ESPN 97.5.
Where's AJ? I'm gonna have you kicked off right now. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. So, you guys watched a game last night?
I did.
I first want to give a special shout-out to my good friend Keith Jones, who
the first black African-American?
First African-American athletic trainer in professional sports.
Really?
Which I think is absolutely phenomenal.
I don't know that that's true. First of all, props to him, but not if you let Bill Worrell tell it.
So it's watching the game last night, and I see that they're running a video of Keith on the scoreboard. And then I see him walk out to center court, and I'm like, oh, that's so cool. They're honoring Jonesy. So then I hear the audio from Bill Worrell, and I was like, no, he didn't just say that. But I was kind of in between the two rooms. I was like, I'll go back later and listen. Well, I went to go back and rewind it, and I wasn't recording the game, so I didn't have it. So I recorded it overnight. I'm like, I'm not going to put this down and discuss it with the guys until I'm sure. I get up this morning, I go and rewind, I go, oh no, Bill Worrell, we're going to have to call you out. So we know what Keith really has done in his career. This is how Bill Worrell described it.
Still celebrating Black History Month, and it was good to see our good friend Keith Jones be honored tonight. He was the first athletic black African-American. Both of those.
Nice.
But Keith Jones.
And nice. Klein follows it up with both true.
He's the first.
The first athletic black
African-American.
Not back in the Jackie Robinson days. Not back farther than that. No, you know, no. Jesse Owens. No, it's Keith Jones.
So I was watching it last night after I got home from the improv. And I was working on getting the podcast up because I had it due yesterday. And I'm doing a bunch of things. And I just... And you know, you hear stuff out of the corner of your ear. And I was just like, did he just, the first black athletic African-American? I rewound it. I was like, you know what? I almost pulled up our prep sheet right away and put it down. Then I was like, you know, I'm going to give Bill a pass for a couple reasons. One, he's old. He's very old. Two, he messed up, and I know what he meant.
Mm-hmm.
We all know what he meant, but it did not come out anywhere close to that. I will say this. I feel like his producers let him down. What they should have done is either at a break, at a timeout, or coming back from the next commercial break, they should have had him say, hey, look, I want to clear something up. I got my words messed up, and I did not give Keith Jones the proper due. And letting people know the accomplishments that he's had in his career. So I just wanted to say I misspoke and got my words mixed up in the moment. But he was the first African-American athletic trainer in the NBA. That would have made it right. But just to not.
I'm going to tell you why they didn't do that.
Because he would have chewed him out.
That's right.
But just to have Clyde go, both of those are true. Like, don't have his back. Clyde, someone could have just been like, that's right, Bill. He was the first African-American athletic trainer in the NBA. We knew what you meant. Ha, ha, ha. Does somebody – look, Nick, if I did something – you even corrected me just now with the Jerry Rocha thing.
Yeah.
You cleaned it up the right way.
Yeah.
I'm not mad. Mm-hmm. I hate you, but not for that. But, like, that's how you do it. Like, I felt like his team let him down on that.
So, Nick
– everyone misspeaks.
Nick is exactly right. So, between
– no, I'm right.
The audio guy and the producer – I guarantee you they knew. Jason and Perry both knew exactly what he said. But because as Bill's gotten a little bit further along in his career, he's got a shorter fuse. During breaks, they have to play Sinatra music just so that they can get the even-keeled best of Bill sometimes.
I had no idea.
What do you mean?
Like, it's to him, he won't be as grumpy. He won't light them up on something if you're playing Sinatra music in the background during commercial breaks. So if you correct someone, and a lot of guys are like this. Like the other night we were talking about the Clipper thing, and we were saying why didn't their producers jump. Sometimes when you get the old school guys and you go to correct them, before they even want to admit whether they were right or wrong, their first line of defense is, they're coming back at you, and they are coming hot.
So what you're saying is Bill is cantankerous.
Yep, he can be.
I can see that. I can totally see that. I mean,
but you know what? I'm sure now that we're going to spend an entire segment making fun of Bill Worrell for doing that.
No, we're not making fun of him.
What are you doing?
We just pointed out the audio.
Joel, don't crawfish on this now. You are absolutely
not crawfish, and I'm fine. I just told you something that people don't know about the fact that in breaks, he gets pretty fired up.
No, what I'm saying is we're making fun of him for the flow.
We're absolutely making fun of him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what would you have rather had? What do you think Bill would rather have had? That the entire city on Sports Talk Radio makes fun of him for a whole day? Or that he gets it cleaned up in the next break because he misspoke?
I'm going to tell you something. You know what he'd hope? He hoped no one caught it.
Oh, my God, you got thousands of people watching that game. He's an idiot if he thinks no one
caught
it.
Well, I think what the producers are doing, they're like, look, we've tried once, twice, maybe even three times to correct
Bill Worrell.
Now we're just going to let this fly.
You screw up.
Let it be documented. And if the higher-ups want to do something, they will. Look, Bill, to my understanding, Joel, he's been on one-year contracts for the past couple of years. So it's not like they're extending him.
They did the Milo thing, too. Once they did the Milo thing and he's only doing home games and Craig's doing the TV on the road.
Like, his role has certainly been reduced.
His role has definitely changed.
None of that matters to me, though. The only point that I think is valid is if they've tried to save him three or four different times and he snapped at them, then everyone's like, okay, well,
they have to, because they don't strike me as producers that are not paying attention. I think they know, you know what I mean? Like, but yeah,
I gave Perry credit the other day. Perry would have been a guy if the broadcast team was talking about Robert Tractor Trailer and he had passed away,
right?
He'd have been on it immediately because he knows with Bull, even Clyde and Craig, you correct them and they'll be like, oh, you know what? Let me stop right there. And they would correct themselves. But some people, because again, back in the day, you didn't have that person. That person was so worried about your space, they wouldn't have interrupted anything you were doing broadcast-wise. Now in modern-day broadcasting, just like we do, we're used to having a producer in our ear. Some people don't like that.
I mean, I don't like it, but not for that reason.
I know. I get you.
Yeah.
All right, we're continuing to roll on. Just a half hour into the big show. It means we've got 2.5 to go, and we want you to be a part of it. There's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, please give us a call, 713-780-3776. You can call or text that number. It's the HRP listener line, and or you can reach us on Twitter. It is the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
Around you, say baby, I love you. If you ain't running game, say my name, you acting kind of shady, ain't calling me baby. Why the sudden change?
This is an ESPN 97.5 road show, live from Prime Social. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number one, three-hour show, Usual Suspects on an F, yeah, Friday. F is for funny. How's it going, guys? Good to see everybody. As we are live at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer, Westheimer at Stony Brook. You want to start your weekend the right way, stop on out and play some poker with some really good-looking people that really want to win and take your money right here to start the weekend the right way. So stop in and see them, see us. We'll be here till 4 o'clock. Barry's here, Nick's here, and we're continuing to roll on as we kind of popped the top on the Rockets game last night. Your thoughts, fellas?
I was thinking about our conversation about the Warriors and the game that they had against the Heat. I tell you what, this Heat's scrappy little bunch.
Yeah.
They're not a great basketball team, but they're scrappy. And again, I reiterate, well, this should have been a team that the Rockets didn't have a problem with either, but I did notice that at halftime they talked to the coaches and one of them said that the 2-3 zone was basically giving them fits, which is so weird to hear in an NBA game.
Right,
and I
right.
know you can play zone and it's just you can't leave a man in the middle, but it looks like they adjusted and you got a big game out of James Harden when you needed it again. And I know they're not at full strength, but they had their full complement of quote stars and still needed a 58-point game from him. So it's good to know that when they need him, even when they have everybody else on the floor, he can turn it on for them.
Well, a couple things. They were shorthanded. No Gordon, no Manimal.
They were.
So they were missing those two guys. And then Pat Riley, this is a different situation. They interviewed Pat Riley leading into the game last night, and he said, we firmly believe we're going to get one or two max players in the 2020 free agency pool and be right back with this young group competing for a championship. And I heard that before the game. I'm like, get out of here. But then you look at some of the pieces that aren't the biggest names in the world, but they can play.
Yeah, they're I wouldn't say they're good. They're scrappy.
Richardson can play. Bam is a big body.
No way they shoot like that every game until all those kids are out of the NBA. They shot really well. The Rockets played some pretty porous defense in the first half as well.
I was telling Nick, unlike Dirk, Wade could play a couple more years.
I believe it, yeah.
He's one of those guys, too, like Nene, that, I mean, although Nene, just his body just gives out, but he does a really good job of doing therapy and exercises to prevent himself from getting injured. And that's so key at his age.
I don't understand why he's calling it quits and Dirk is considering another year. Right. I would have thought that it would be the other way around. But
definitely.
You know, you can't just go based off of that alone. Plus, I'm sure he feels on an island down there in Miami with no help around him. And at this point, you're thinking, what's the point? We're not going to win a championship in the next couple of years anyways. No way they're going to compete with the likes of Boston and Philly and Toronto and, you know, Milwaukee. Even if they did add some max players, they're just not enough depth to begin with, even if you add a star.
And you forget about him because he wasn't on the floor, but they threw so much silly money at Hassan Whiteside, who has been just a ridiculous pain in the ass in the locker room and otherwise, that you can't get out from under that contract, and that's going to hinder you greatly no matter who you want to bring in.
Second highest paid Miami Heat, who is it? Ryan Anderson.
That's right, they traded for him.
Ryan Anderson.
Yeah.
He's making more than Whiteside?
He's the second highest. Whiteside is 25.
So Wade took less.
Yeah, so yeah, Anderson's at 20 this year, and then Dragic is at 18. So, I mean, that's just crazy to me. I don't know how he's going to sign two max players, but it's going to be interesting to see if he can pull that off. I would imagine he'd have to get rid of that. Well, next year it goes down to 15-6 for Ryan Anderson, so I guess it's not too bad.
And Ryan Anderson, if it does roll over, when he went to Phoenix, agreed to make it an option instead of a guaranteed final, which was absolutely ridiculously stupid on his part.
Yeah, because he's not going to get that again.
But part of the trade was he said, you can make it optional, that final year of my deal. You just basically threw away.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
$20 million.
You know damn well you're never going to get that money again. And why would you just to get a few more, years in the NBA? You're going to play again. You're going to get another contract. It's not going to be nearly. But why would you throw that money away? You just accelerated a lower contract for the remaining time in the NBA.
I mean, I understand pressure, and I understand on social media everybody made fun of the fact that they were overpaying him. But that's guaranteed money.
Yeah.
You can make fun of me all day long if I get $20 million a year.
You always hear about, oh, well, players should honor the contract. They signed it. You shouldn't be asking them to renegotiate. Well, guess what? So did these teams. Whoever traded for him knew what it was, and everybody else knew when they signed Ryan Anderson that this stupid ass contract is what we're, you know, that's his ball and chain. So I'm surprised that he gave up money. I mean, who walks away from $20 million?
I just don't. Yeah, and your agent, who lets you? If you're his agent, you slap some sense into him and go, Ryan, you can sleep on this, but even when you wake up, I'm not letting you do this because you're never going to come close to making that in the next 3 years.
So what if people make fun of you for being the most overpaid player in the NBA at the moment? Who cares? You can laugh $20 million into the bank. Who cares?
People made fun of my friend Matt Maloney for signing that, or for being the worst contract in the history of the Houston Rockets. But guess what? He still got all 7 years and $17 million.
Exactly.
Then they came to him and said, can we elongate this so we don't have to pay it up front? And he was more than willing to do that because he's like, look, you guys signed me to this deal. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And he took a lot of heat for
and
that.
And he did, but good
he didn't
for him.
Walk away
exactly.
From him, right.
And by the way, I would pick up that name you dropped, but my hernia hurts.
No, I still. Your boy Bling is still on the
What is Matt Maloney doing?
Just hanging out in Houston.
Spending $17 million, laughing at everybody that paid
it's
him.
It's been a while, though. He's been out of the game for a while.
He had an album out.
He had
a band and an album. I was going to have him on the show one time.
A rap album?
No, like a rock album.
Christian rock. I feel like Matt Maloney would be Christian rock.
No.
Not even close?
No, not even close.
Okay.
But the other thing I was going to mention to you guys was something that I brought up to you when the Scott Foster situation came up. Old Tony Brothers was refereeing last night.
Yeah, that was awful.
My goodness, it didn't take long for me to go. And I was talking to some people right before game time, and I think Fagan is the one that always puts out the referees. And I went, Lord, here we go. Tony Brothers is back in town. But you know, the Rockets were playing bad, and I just didn't think it was going to factor in. Like, normally refs at that point take a step back, too.
Yeah.
But when he threw Tucker and why he threw Tucker.
It's not his call.
And it wasn't his call.
Not
his
call.
Exactly what I was going to say. I was like, boom, Tony Brothers got him again.
Yeah, I mean, you can't – that's not your call. It's not your call in the action. You know, like, if you're at the top, you shouldn't be calling stuff down low. Same thing. That was between P.J. Tucker and whoever the referee was that gave him the foul.
The lead official.
Yeah.
They were going back.
That's
the
not
court.
Your call, dude. Like, even if the other official walked away, there's a reason he walked away. Because he was cool-headed enough to go, all right, it was close, maybe. Because, look, don't tell me that this doesn't happen where, as a referee, you see something in an instant and you make the call. But as you are blowing the whistle and giving the number and in your mind you're replaying it, you go, you know what, I did see a hand behind his neck. He probably did get pulled into that foul. I probably shouldn't have blown the whistle. Too late now. Let's just keep it moving. And when he comes over and bitches at me, I'll be like, yeah, I might have missed that.
Right.
I'll take a look at it and
exactly
let you know.
Right.
And that's how it goes. And then that's it. And the players are cool with that. So that's probably why you see a guy like that turn around and walk away. I know he's mad. I'm just going to let him blow off steam. I'm not going to tee him up. There's no confrontation. Why is another ref blowing the whistle and teeing him up for that? That doesn't make any sense. That was between them.
Not only
let
that,
him walk off.
Why did he eject him on one tee? Because under the NBA rules, if you are demonstrative in any way showing up an official, and that's what Tucker did when he made the mad sprint with his arms flailing to get to that official and started pointing at him, I can see giving him one. But Tucker didn't lose his mind until he was informed that not only did Brothers hit him with the one, but he tossed him because of it. I was like, where was the second tee?
What's crazy is I don't think James Harden helped. Honestly,
I agree with
pushing
that.
Him back and making it a bigger deal by like, oh, no, bro, like pushing him and all that, you probably should have just let him walk up because Tucker does this a lot. Tucker's a complainer. He bitches a lot. Sometimes he's got a decent gripe. A lot of times he doesn't. But let him run up to the ref and be like, yo, man, that dude grabbed me behind the neck. They probably work it out. It's probably not a big deal, but I think James actually made it worse by trying to hold him back and pushing him several
times. It's entirely possible. And I'll tell you what, Tony Brothers is not the first official that will literally pry his way into making a point to a player, even though he wasn't on the call, right? Like, I've even seen it with Joey Crawford before, where one particular player is bitching at one particular ref because he knows if he said that to Joey Crawford, that Joey Crawford would probably tee him up or eject him.
Yeah.
But then Joey Crawford still comes in, tees him up, ejects him anyway, and it's just, it's not cool because that player was educated with the officials on the court. He knew who he was talking to,
yeah.
And that particular official was known to be a little bit more flexible when dealing with heated players. And it's just BS that a ref – but that's the rules. Any official on the court can make any call, basically.
Well, and to be fair, there is a lead official in every three-official group. That lead official is going to be the one that's more experienced, that will jump in a lot of cases and say, hey, look, especially if you know it's a young ref and you're going at him, the lead official's job, the head official of the group is also supposed to go in there and go, hey, time out. He was either right or wrong or you can't do this or that just to try and patrol it. But in this case, and AT&T Sportsnet had the great angle, the trail view to watch exactly with Brothers right there in the forefront to watch what he was watching. And Barry, you're right. He's watching the confrontation between Harden and PJ. And when Harden hits him in the chest a couple times and PJ gets fired up and they just start talking, he's listening. That's what he made the first tee on and chose to eject him with, and I'm going, that's none of your business.
Yeah, that's between those two players, and that's one leader doing his job as a leader, holding a player back. And even then, I mean, how many times do you see James Harden go up to a referee to plead his case when he thought he was fouled or he didn't foul or whatever? It happens, and sometimes players like PJ are a little more demonstrative. They're more outspoken, but I think that the referees also know that it's not egregious and he's not being – you know, confrontational. He's just pleading his case, but he's animated, or he's PJ does it a lot. I don't understand it. And the worst of all worst is Draymond Green, who never gets thrown out, and he's way more demonstrative than anybody else in the NBA.
They give him. They have a different way of call, fair or unfair,
which is BS.
But they have a different way of calling Draymond because he is like this on a nightly basis.
Okay, so what you're telling me is that PJ Tucker has to do that every single time. He's never going to get that. It's ridiculous. Something like that is pretty stupid because I guarantee you replace PJ Tucker with Draymond Green, he finishes that game.
I think it's a great call. I think you're absolutely right. I think, again, because of past precedents, Boogie Cousins might also fit into that book because of the fact that the guys are like, look, and they already know he's tallied enough tees that he's close to being suspended, and they don't want it to go for something like that. So Boy, someone just did you a big favor.
What? I just blocked Patrick
Guessing
Creighton on Twitter.
Did you? On Twitter. Patrick Creighton, this you is are no longer.
This is a zero tolerance policy. I am not playing. He tried to correct me because I didn't capitalize God when I said God D. Like, no, bro. I'm telling you, done.
Look at his face.
Never going to see another tweet from Patrick Creighton, and he's never going to see another tweet of mine. He's blocked.
He had a look to him before the show started. I got a couple of pictures.
Do you know how many people I have blocked on Twitter in the 5 years I've been on radio?
Four.
One, Patrick Creighton. I have never blocked anyone.
Was that before or after that?
I don't even block. That was it. That was the first time I've ever blocked someone on Twitter being on radio.
But you guys are colleagues. You guys are buds.
I don't care.
No, you guys got to get along.
I said, if my mom corrects my spelling, she's blocked. She can hit bricks. Same thing. Patrick Creighton, trying to be funny, corrected my spelling. Guess what? Our boy Brett B.T. Thompson, that used to work for the station many years ago, also corrected my spelling and said it was a capital G. Gone. Off my friends list. Out of here. Who else? Who wants some?
I'm not having it.
I'm a grown-ass man. I don't need this.
F is for fatal. You're fatal on Barry's list of social media if you corrected today. Bring it, and he will bring it back. Don't go anywhere. It's more of the usual stuff.
Blocked.
ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Prime Social, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, tail end of hour number one, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We are live from Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer at... Stony Brook? Westheimer at Stony Brook, but 7801 Westheimer. If you're heading out from the Galleria, out towards the Beltway, and you're looking for something to do to start your weekend the right way, the tables are filling up. It is a great environment. It's a fantastic place if you're a poker player. Because
it really is.
I'm telling you, it's clean. It's upscale.
And yes, it is Stony
care
Brook.
Of you. It is? Yeah. They now have dominoes as well. I know Granado's playing in the middle room.
How many people think here? There's over 100 people.
Easily.
Yeah. Tons of TVs to watch games. Yeah, there's a whole other room over there.
There's a whole other room that we can't.
By the way, I would spank y'all's ass at dominoes. Just want you to know. I'd probably whoop your ass at poker, too. But I would spank you at dominoes.
You probably.
One time that I would easily admit both of those things were correct.
I know you don't play poker.
I don't play dominoes.
Oh, you don't play dominoes?
I don't really play dominoes either.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Poker, yeah.
Oh.
Nick was saying, because I was giving Nick credit because Charlie asked me, who would win poker between Granado and Lance? And I think Granado would.
I've never seen Lance play, so I can't comment.
I think they're both really good poker players. I think this station has great poker players.
Oh, without a doubt.
Fred and AJ.
That's what I said.
John and Lance. Nick can hold his own at the poker table.
That's where I was going. So I gave Nick credit, and I said, look, Charlie, for all you – because I gave Fred and AJ, and then I said Lance, and I said John. But I said Nick actually – beat both Fred and AJ in a tournament in Vegas. And Nick was downplaying it going, oh, that was just one time. I go, Villanova beat Georgetown.
That's right.
All it took was one time.
NC State and U of H. All it takes
National
is once,
champs.
Baby.
Yep.
It was fun. It's fun to win for sure. But, yeah, I mean, I'm okay with playing poker as long as it's a tournament that I know how much money I'm going to lose in. And Fred and AJ were nice enough to introduce that to me, and I like that. So,
yeah.
Well, that's good stuff. I mean, I think that's something you put on your resume. I mean, if you're a poker player and you can say that you – finished higher than those two dudes, you're doing something.
That's not a bad deal. Not a bad deal at all.
No, so Johnny G's in the other room, and he's...
oh, is he still over there?
Yeah, I don't know if he's... Because he comes here just basically on his own and just plays just to kill time sometimes. So he's in one of the rooms playing. There's a big Friday tournament they always have that's going on right now. So you can stop by and get in on all this, but it's just a fantastic environment. If you really want a clean, safe place to play poker, it's Prime Social.
Pink Valkyrie will like this news. You see that the Blue Jays signed Bud Norris?
Yeah.
To a minor league deal.
Yeah, I don't understand how they signed Clay Buchholz to a major league deal.
Yeah.
And Bud Norris to a minor league deal. Bud Norris, the ex-Astro, was one of those guys they were saying, is he going to be like Keuchel and just be out there forever? But
Well, I don't recall it. I mean, if I recall, he had 29 saves with the Cardinals
right?
last year. Yeah. I mean, he's decent out of the bullpen. ERA was 3.59. I was talking about it with Tyler when the news broke yesterday on the Blitz. But, you know, Bud Norris as a starter wasn't good. Bud Norris out of the pen is serviceable. I mean, not a horrible guy. Some of his peripheral numbers are actually pretty good. I don't understand. I mean, I get why it was $3 million or whatever plus incentives, but I don't understand why it was a minor league deal. I fully expect him to make the team. I think there's no doubt.
With you.
I think there's no doubt he makes that team. And they
I'm
talked about the mix of Giles and Tapera, and you've got David Paulino on the roster, and they've got some other guys in there. So it's shaping up to be a decent little bully out there. Nothing horrible, but nothing great, but nothing horrible.
And Clay Buchholz resurrected his career,
yep.
But you know, in a partial season, went 7-2 with a 2.01 ERA and 16 starts with the Diamondbacks. So he finagled that into a deal with the Blue Jays. But I'm saying, because he's been dinged up in the past and because he didn't have a deal yet, that would be a guy, because of his arm issues, that you'd go, well, we'll make him play for it, and if he plays well enough, we'll sign him. But Norris has always had a live arm. Like you said, as a starter, he kind of would run out of juice or have a bad inning. But in the pen, he had a live arm and he high velocity. He'd come in and get people out.
Yep.
So the good news from an Astros front, too, boys, is the fact that ESPN is reporting that after talking to A.J. Hinch that Jose Altuve will start playing second base very soon.
Yay.
Because he is healthy. And even better news than that, tomorrow – Alex Bregman will start at third base.
Is that better than Jose Altuve news being back?
What'd I say?
You said even better than
you're blocked.
Altuve.
That's it. You're done. You're blocked. That's it. You're done. Say goodnight, Gracie. You're out. So
I'm blocked from the show.
Correct me, bitch, and you're out. Yep, that's it.
I just feel like maybe it's not as good. It's good. It's great news, but I think Altuve being back is the best news.
But then he
Nothing
struck out three
that.
Times yesterday.
That's
and,
fine.
And Hinch was like, what you guys don't realize is even though he struck out, he was really close.
His timing was on.
Yep.
He was
yep.
comfortable in the box. That's all you care about right now. He knows how to hit. That dude.
I'm just more fired up about the fact that they're going to
– Yeah.
Alex Bregman's going to start at third base, which means his arm is showing no ill effects of the surgery, and he should be, like he had always promised, be ready for opening day.
Yeah, it's really good. I saw this article on Larry Brown Sports about the Bryce Harper deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the headline was the five most interesting details about the contract.
Okay.
And we talked a little bit about this when it broke, but the first one was three no's of the contract. Harper's deal included a no trade clause, no opt outs, and no deferred money. So he can't opt out. The club can't opt out. This is a 13-year deal. It's guaranteed. He's going to make all $330 million. There's no deferred money, which is good for him, too, because he gets it all in the 13 years. Remember, Bagwell had some deferred money that he got paid a little bit afterwards. No deferred money, no opt-outs.
Well, you know, the king of the deferred
money. And a no-trade clause.
It's Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah, every year.
He's still getting paid by the New York Mets.
Some other ones they said. He could have had $45 million a year average on a shorter-term deal. Remember, we talked about the fact that I think I would pay more for less years to a guy like Harper or Machado or even Mike Trout. A guy like that, I would definitely pay more for less years so I don't have to worry about them fading at the end of the contract.
The interesting thing that was funny about that was someone said, do you guys not remember when Bryce Harper's dad threw to him in the home run derby and he was jacked and ripped? They're like, Bryce Harper's going to be playing until he's 44.
Shoot.
I was like, you better hope so if you're a Phillies.
His reported $300 million offer from the Nationals was not what it seemed, is what they said. It's important to note that the $300 million offer from the Nats isn't what it seemed. According to the Washington Post, the contract called for around $100 million in deferred money that would have spread out payments until Harper was about 60 years old. That's crazy. You're not going to get a guy to do that.
You know what that says to me?
Why are you deferring money for 60 years?
Oh, he's not.
Or 30 years.
Team's trying to do it so that they stay afloat in case something goes wrong. Scott Boras is putting all this information out there so that he can make sure that people don't think, oh, same deal, and he didn't want to go back to Washington.
$1 million in now isn't the same as $1 million in 30 years either. It's not even close. So that doesn't make any sense. Number four, the Giants did discuss a 10-year deal with Harper, so that was on the table. The Dodgers would not go 10 years for Harper, and they probably wouldn't go 10 with Machado, so that's why he's not there. I mean, some of these teams are adamant about these long-term deals in baseball. So, I mean, obviously some teams are willing to do it.
We thought when the Dodgers cleared house in their outfield, they were the front runners.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they weren't willing to make a commitment financially. That seems kind of crazy.
Yep.
So that's wild. So that was that all five?
That's it. That's all five.
That's crazy. So Harper's a Philly. I'm assuming he'll be at spring training this weekend. But we'll see how that goes. But plenty more to get to. If you guys want to join the show, hour number two is right around the corner. You can join us at 713-780-3776, where you can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
I go hard on Southside G. Yeah, wait. I make sure that Northside E.